Well, open up to the book of Colossians. What I'd like to do is just play back Alan Taylor's message from this morning. I just want to hear it again. Glory to God. Was that good or what? You know, I tell you, he is so right. And I know many people hearing this message are going, well, I didn't get to hear it, but he was teaching on really, you know, we all tend to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John from a disciple's point of view. And we are to be his disciples. He wasn't making light of that. But what really we're supposed to do is someday, get it to dawn on us in a practical way that we are sons of the Most High God. We are heirs. And he went meticulously through John 14, 15, and 16 over and over again where Jesus was saying, all that the Father has is mine. The Holy Spirit, he's going to take of mine. He's going to show it unto you. I didn't say, in that day, you won't ask me direct. You won't ask me, and I'm not saying I'm going to pray the Father for you. No, the Father himself loves you. So he was really talking about when we, our tendency is to stand in front of the circumstance. Can I say mountain? Yes. Whether it's your mountain, whether you're standing in for somebody else's mountain, maybe a loved one that's sick, or here at Calling in the Lost, that we specifically emphasize standing in for those who aren't saved yet and calling things that be not as though they were, you know. But whatever the mountain is, whatever the circumstance is, we tend to talk to God about the mountain. I'll never forget the way Charles Capps put it. He said he was in prayer and the Lord said to him, says, my people, I told my people to talk to the mountain. But all they want to do is talk to me about the mountain. Or they want to talk to each other about the mountain. Or they're always begging me to remove the mountain. And I told them to speak to the mountain and it would obey them in Jesus' name. So the point of the message was, when you stand in front of the mountain, as long as we're standing there as the flawed human beings that we all are, get a grip. You're not perfect. You got that? And as far as I know, there was only one perfect one ever. Okay, get a grip. And if you're standing there in your own righteousness, in your own obedience, in your own holiness, in your own whatever, well, of course you're going to fail because you ain't him. that's the whole point. The point is, and you know, we've taught it over and over again how Paul, from like Philippians 3 and 4, he says, not having any righteousness of my own anymore. And originally he did before he got saved. His righteousness was, he was a Pharisee. I kept the law. I fasted. I did all of these things, you know. But he says, when I found Christ, all of that that I considered important, it became like, what's the King James word? Dung to me. It became poopy to me. You know, I got grandkids. Poopy. I counted it but dung, you know. Nobody walks around carrying that, you know. So I got rid of that, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ, okay? So what Alan was saying was this morning, he says, we've got to get that mentality that when we stand to battle the circumstance, or we stand before the mountain and the showdown is here, the circumstance says, you're going to die. You're going to die, whatever that circumstance is. We're standing there. We've got to get it in our heads. We're not standing there as ourselves. We are standing there as the agent of authority. And it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we're, when we speak, we're speaking with all of His perfection, His righteousness, His standing. And when you do that and you do it really in faith, all of heaven, all of the resources of God, all the Holy Spirit, all the angels, everything heaven has, all of heaven's resources are right behind you to back up everything you say. Glory to God, I want to hear it again. I like that dominion thing, says when I walk in. You know, you walk in, all right, this is my town. I'm the sheriff. You know, this town is not big enough. For you and, you know, sickness, you're not going to live in my town. I have dominion. You know, poverty, you're not going to live in my town. Lost teenagers, you're not going to live in my town. Whatever it is now. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So, what I wanted, since I can't reteach it yet exactly, and I don't have it yet where I can listen to it again, let's look at the verse. So go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. don't teach enough out of Colossians. I probably ought to more. It is one of the most powerful books, I think, in all the New Testament. But I think that about Ephesians, and I think that about Philippians, and I think that about Romans, and all of them, you know. I mean, it's just the power that's there. God, now I started to say, God help the devil. That won't work. The devil's really in trouble if we ever start believing Colossians. If we start believing just this one chapter, maybe one and two we might look at tonight. Just this right here. If we just believe this and walk in it, this city's in trouble. The devil is in trouble in this city is what I mean. Revival will manifest. Well, let's look at the verse and then we're going to back up. Okay? Let's see now. Oh my. Let's start in verse 25 of chapter 1. But then I'm going to back up leading to that. See, because if you just read this part, it's great, but you miss so much of what he said, a whole lot leading up to this statement that makes it so much stronger than if you just read this alone. So where did I say start? 25? Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations but now is made manifest to his saints to whom God... By the way, that's you. The saints of God are the believers in Christ. It's not some statued people in cathedrals. You are the saints of God. You got me? You know? You are the saints of God. And he wants this mystery made known to his people. All right? Well, what is the mystery? So, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And there is no other way to present you perfect except in Christ Jesus. You do not want to be presented in anything else but Christ Jesus. That's why I say all the time, I know what Gary Carpenter deserves. I know what Gary deserves. Without the blood of Christ, without being in him, I don't want one speck of justice. And thank God I don't have to have it. Because if I get justice in any measure, I mean, if I get an ounce of justice for Gary Carpenter, it's hell forever. I deserve it completely. But thank God he didn't leave any of my unrighteousness out. Thank God we're going to look here where he finished the work. We're thank God that I don't have to stand there in mine own self. I stand there in Christ, just like it says, every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. What that means is Paul says, my life is about his work and not my own. I'm not starting my own church. I mean, I'm not doing this on my own. I'm not doing this on my own agenda. It's Christ. Christ is the head of the church. It's Christ working in me. Amen? All right? Well, what did Jesus say when he did a miracle? He said, I'm not doing this. It's the Father in me. So in John 17, we have that prayer. We might as well look at it real quick. Hold your place here in Colossians. We're coming right back. But the way Jesus concluded his high priestly prayer, we're near the end of it. Yeah, here it is. Let's start in verse 20. Just so you'll know that he's praying for you too, not just those that were standing there that day. So John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. One way or another, you believed on Jesus through the words of one of these apostles. You know, this gospel has come down through the generations from them. So, he's praying specifically for you in your generation. Well, what's he praying? That they all may be one as thou, Father. Now, when we say that, most people preach that line, that they all may be one. They preach it in a horizontal sense. That all of us may get along with each other. That, and there is truth to that. There's really You know, I mean, that is a good teaching, that we should be of one mind, one accord, striving in the Spirit for the faith and all of that. But that's just not what he's talking about here. Notice what he's talking about here is a vertical oneness. Vertical, between us and God. Now watch this. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me. That's vertical. You see that? Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. So here we're talking about this vertical relationship. And that they also may be one in us. He's still talking vertical. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now, Dave has taught us over and over again, what is that glory? It is his standing as son. It is the standing of sonship. And everything he did, really, was to become to pay the penalty and then actually take that sin nature into himself, pay the price for it, and then be the firstborn from the dead species of Adam, if I can say it that way. He is the first one quickened from the dead so that he could be the progenitor. He is called the second man, the last Adam. He is the progenitor of a new species of human. Glory to God. That's you. That's you. You are if you're born again, you are a creature. That's why it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new species that never existed since the fall of Adam. The life of God on the inside. Now, the shell is obviously still fallen. Have you noticed? And the soul didn't get instantly renewed either. It's in the process of renewal. But see, the miracle of God, that spirit on the inside of you went from death to life. You know, words fail me right there. That's the message over in Colossians. Went from death to life. See, we presented, you know, he talks about the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that fell into the ground. It is the tiniest of all the seeds, but then over time it grows. And he's teaching about if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. See, he's really talking about faith. Now, the way we present that for teaching purposes, it's like a seed that fell into the ground. And it's like the new nature. You grow in it. And you do. You do grow. It's ever-increasing faith. But see, really what it is, it's your faith in Him, in you, that's growing. You think you know that, don't you? Let me say it another way. What if... Okay, now let's go back now. Can you see that? All right, go back over here to Colossians. Because let's look at it. Look at what it says. I got a lot of, amen. When that explodes on us, the blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. We think we know that. We may have an intellectual knowledge. I'm going to say it in a way in a minute that's going to rock your boat. So, now look at verse 27 again before I say it. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, among the Gentiles. Now this time, you know the word Christ, do you know what it means? The Anointed One. It is the Greek word for Messiah. It is the Anointed One. Let's say it this way. Here is the mystery, Gentiles. Gentile believers is what he means. The Anointed One is in you. Now what if he was in you in full measure? Well, but it really wasn't him. He is the Anointed One. What's he anointed with? Acts 10:38. With the Holy Ghost and with power. It's exactly the message that Alan was teaching this morning. It's really not you. It's for sure not you. And in a way, it's not Jesus. He said, it's the Father in me doing the work. So he said over there, I in them and thou in me. Did you get that? Well, God is a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit flowing through that righteousness which is imparted as a gift. We keep praying for what we already have and asking for what He's already given and walking miles below our inheritance because we don't really have a revelation of the Anointed One in us. Are you wanting? Read 2:9. Okay. We were going to get there. I was going to read it later. If we don't run out of time, problem is I run out of time a lot of times. For in Him, look at 2:9. For in Him dwelleth all. Everyone say all. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, what if? Let's read that. That's a definition. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, let's keep that in mind. Let me insert that over here in chapter 1, verse 27. What is the mystery? It is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in you. How big does that mountain look now? Who's in trouble here, you or the mountain? Man, if we ever get a revelation. Now, I do want to back up. Let me start reading before that verse in verse 27. Let's back up. I heard Dave, I'll go ahead and say it now. He said, boy, this seems like a lot of words to tell you you have dominion. Because this is what it means to have Christ in you. Watch this now. Let's see, we'll start in verse 8. It said, chapter 1, verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Boy, this is a good prayer to pray for yourself, all of this one. And to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of His will. Good Lord. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, Paul would not pray that if it was not possible. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now get this. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that just means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, that's when Alan was reading today out of, where is it, John 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there, where he says, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said unto you, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He's going to take of mine, and He's going to show it unto you. And He says, I'm not going to pray the Father for you at that time, once you're born again. Because why? Because we've been made joint heirs of that inheritance. And you'll pray the Father directly, for the Father loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came out from God. Amen? All right, now let's keep going here. So, verse 12 again. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, what's part of that inheritance? Who hath. Is that present tense or past tense? Past tense. Has already done, delivered us from the power, the authority of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Well, what did we get when that happened? In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, we run over that so quick because that part's real familiar to us. You just don't know how devastating that was to the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren. Remember how he accused Job? Remember how he would run to God and accuse Job, you know? He'll curse you to your face if you do this and that, you know? He doesn't have that kind of ammunition against you because the blood has washed away all of your sins. Thank God for the blood. All right? In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, what else do we have? He's in us, right? This is who's in you. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For now, how much power is this? For by Him who? Christ, the Anointed One, the One that's in you. By Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, Well, how much dominion would that be? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. My Lord. Time out. Even way back in when I was in university, now, this will scare you. About 1968, whew, Oklahoma State University. And they were teaching us our little basic course on atomic structure. And they were teaching us about, you know, they're really going on to quarks at that time. That was the new discovery, quarks. But they were talking about atoms, you know, and how you have protons and neutrons and you have these electrons that go around, you know. And the thing of it is, they're showing us the nucleus of an atom is made up of protons and neutrons. But neutrons don't have any charge. Protons do. They're positive. You ever try and put the positive ends of two magnets together? You can't do it. You can't force it to happen. They repel each other. So if you've got a nucleus, everything in that nucleus is either no charge or positive charge. Someone asked the question, what keeps the protons from flying apart? I'll tell you, for an additional offering of $10, I'll give you the professor's profound explanation. We don't know. We just call it atomic glue. That's what he said. We just call it atomic glue. And it was years later I was reading this verse. And I went, I know what it is. I know what keeps the molecules together. Here it is right here. By Him, all things consist. It's by Him. His power holds everything together. And, as if this isn't enough. Now, we've already seen that this one in us has dominion over all thrones, principalities, powers, dominions, everything. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Now, get this, the firstborn from the dead. He is the head of a new species of human. He is the Adam. He is the last Adam. He is, in the way that the first Adam, all humans were descended from Him, and they all had spiritual death. Once you get born again and Jesus becomes your Adam, everybody that goes through that process, He is the progenitor of a species, all of them born spiritually alive when they're reborn the second time with the life of God. Firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. He's talking about Gary Carpenter right there, probably. Yet now hath He reconciled. Glory to God, past tense. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If, there's a big if here, if you continue in the faith. Now why is that phrase, if words mean anything? Remember we talked about Hebrews in the early class this morning? The whole temptation was to get them to turn away from the faith. To go back, these Jewish people had been grown up under the law, and then they heard the gospel, and about this right here that we just read, how Jesus shed His blood for your sins and forgiveness is in the blood. So they forsook the law as their means of righteousness and they turned rather to Jesus Christ and His blood and received His righteousness by faith. But then pressure came on them trying to turn them back to the law of Moses. But in order to do that, they would have to reject the blood of Jesus. So He's saying here, He's going to present you holy. How's He say it? Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, meaning it's possible you might not. If you turn away from God, I know one lady who fell in love, a Baptist all her life, fell in love with a Muslim, wanted to marry the guy. And he said, well, the only way we can get married, you have to publicly in my mosque stand up and deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to deny that He is the Savior, and you have to publicly declare that Allah is God. And she did it. Now, see, that's what this is talking about. It's talking about literally turning away from the faith. Right? But he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Well, all you got to do is read, you know, what Dave calls the chapter 11 bankruptcy that was filed on him. I mean, a specific devil was assigned. Every time Paul tried to do anything for the gospel, that devil tried to beat his brains out trying to stop him. He says, but I rejoice in that. Paul says, I rejoice in that. Well, it doesn't matter to me as long as the gospel is preached and I finish my course. So verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even this mystery. Now, he said all of that leading up to what we read earlier. This mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Well, what is that mystery? The Anointed One, Christ, is in you. He is the hope of glory. Now, it's interesting he used the word hope there. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. See, hope has everything to do with what you see on the inside. We talked about that last week, I believe. You know, I said, work on your hoper. Make sure that you're not just confessing these things like a robot. Let those confessions work on the part of you that sees. You've got to get an image of this being done, see? You've got to see that mountain moving. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, the reason it says here, Christ, when it says, let me say it exactly, He is the hope of glory. What if I said it this way? He is the image on the inside of you of who you really are. We've looked at that verse. Was it 1 Corinthians 3:18? Might be 2nd. I don't know. I have to look it up again. 2 Corinthians 3:18. What's really going on? As we behold Him, Christ, in this mirror, what's happening? We are changed. We are transformed. We are changed into that image. Same image. Into that. Let's look at it. Make sure. 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, 3:18. Yes, 2 Corinthians 3:18. See, and I always knew Paul was from the South. But we all... sorry. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass... Now, notice. What are you beholding? The glory of the Lord. That same glory over in verse 17. He says, my glory, Father, the same glory you gave me, I have given them. So it's okay to look in this glass and see His glory and say, you gave that to me? And then start saying, oh, you gave that to me. Well, as you do that, see, if you keep looking at yourself and not that image, we're never going to change. That's why I say, if we keep calling things that are as though they already are. There's no power to change what are if you keep saying what are, because it already are. I mean, really, if you keep looking at yourself going, I'm using me now. I'm ugly and my mother dresses me funny. Well, we already know that. You know what? You understand the principle, what I'm saying. You don't look at you to change you. You look at Him. Him in you to change you. And we're going to have to change if we're going to move these mountains. We've been trying to do it in our own strength, our own holiness, our own name. Well, we use His name. But really, we're going, boy, I hope I prayed enough. Now, all of prayer is good. Prayer and confession and fasting, none of those things move the mountain. Those things move you. Those are tools that we use to work on the part of us that doesn't believe until we do believe. But boy, when the believing has happened and you're standing there and you know who you are, this goes right along with last week's message. I didn't realize till right now. It's really a progression from last week's Sunday night message. When you know who you are, Now there's a time of building to that. You know, if you found a lost heir, like the Tarzan thing, you know, the old Tarzan thing, when they found him, he was really the heir to a fortune. He didn't know that. If you found somebody like that that lived their whole life in the jungle, and yet you brought them back to America and they were a long lost Rockefeller, you know, now they're the full, complete heir. And you're trying to get them to wear something besides a loincloth. You know? And all they know to do is eat with their hands, you know, and you're trying to teach them how to use a fork and a knife. It's similar to that. We're familiar with darkness. We grew up in darkness. We lived in a world of darkness, and the only physics we knew was the physics of a fallen world. You know? And come to find out, we're heirs, and God's trying to sit us down and say, now, we move mountains in this realm. You do. Yeah, but we don't do it in your strength. You do it by your inheritance that was freely given to you in Christ. His anointing is in you. What? No, I swing from trees. Yeah, we know that. Anyway, it's very much like that. He's trying to teach us who we are and how to live in the inheritance that really belongs to us. Anyway. All right. We are changed. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. See, it's us that's changing. God's not going to change. Christ isn't going to change. The devil isn't going to change. It's us that is changing. We are changed into, and I love it, it doesn't say some vague, somewhat resembling image. Boy, you behold Christ in the mirror. Just imagine if you could see Him. Now see, He's in you. Now see Him in this mirror though. However you behold the glory of the Lord. Read Revelations, how it talks about Him. Hair whiter than snow, the voice is like many waters. I mean, just, you know, you just could, you know, if He walked through the wall and spoke to your mountain, you know that mountain's going. See, that's what I'm getting at. You know the mountain's going if He walks through the wall. Thing of it is, you're supposed to look at Him in you like in a mirror. And as you do that, and you look at Him, we are changed into the same image. Not some blurry, fuzzy, sort of little bit of an approximation. The same image. Now it does say from glory to glory, indicating it's a progressive walk. That's the growing part. It's not really Him so much growing, it's our faith in Him and our belief in all of this that's growing. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that does this transformation. Okay, back to Colossians. We're trying to get in a lot here in a short amount of time. I got to quit doing that, though, because I've had people from New Zealand and other places. Oh, what happens to you when you go... I'm just indicating I'm trying to get a lot in a short amount of time, you know. If you get people live around... They have difficulties with some of Dave's jokes, you know. They're going... What? You know, we're familiar with our culture, and they're going, what? When I first went to Poland, and I was using the example of checking the battery on your car for something or other, and after the service, Jimmy Miller told me, he says, do you understand not 10% of these people own a car? Never have, never will. Here they use the bus and they use the train, and they don't, you know, he says, that you need a different analogy than that. That works in America. It won't really work here. They're not familiar with the car. So, things you got to learn, you know. Anyway, getting back to this. Let's go on to chapter 2. All I want to be able to do is just introduce this a little bit. But he's really continuing on. You know, he takes a little bit of a break here, but then he continues on with this, leading down to that verse 9. I said I'd get it in. Let's get it in. He says, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Here we go again. It's like it starts just flowing out of Paul again, what he wants for the body. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Do you see that word acknowledging? There has to come a day when you begin to say, no matter how I feel, no matter how ugly I seem to myself, no matter all my failures, I have to begin to acknowledge Christ is in me. Christ is in me. I have to acknowledge this mystery. I have to begin to declare it is true. That's when the mirror starts changing you. We're not supposed to just behold Him and not possess Him. Can I say it that way? We are to possess. He is your promised land. Christ, if you want to know the truth of it, is your promised land. His inheritance is the promised land. That's what we're to appropriate by faith. And it begins by acknowledging, no matter what it seems like, no matter how many times the devil tells me what a slimy dog worm I am your son. You've made me righteous and holy as a free gift. Glory to God. It's good stuff. Verse 3. In whom are hid, talking about Christ, in whom are hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfast of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In other words, there comes a time when the walk needs to catch up with the talk. This is Matt Moore. This is, if you haven't met Matt, he's your brother from that you haven't met yet from Salem. Spokane, Washington. And he's got to leave tomorrow, but you'll at least come up and shake his hand afterwards. Right. We were talking. See, the Lord had the same talk with him he had with me years ago. Remember, I was praying, man, and I was praying. I had all that time to pray in the trucks, and the revelation was flowing like water. And, man, I was having this revelation and that vision, and I was writing all this stuff down. Went on for years, and it was great, you know. It was wonderful. Till one day the Lord said to me, son, your revelation has far exceeded your transformation. Because He would show me strongholds and I'd go, yeah, there's one right there. What's this other one, you know? I didn't want to stop and deal with no stronghold. You know? Well, yeah, okay, I'm going on to the next one, you know? So I'm up about 16 cities in the promised land and I haven't possessed any of them yet. I'm like a tourist on a visa. I'm like a tourist, you know? Right, let me look at all my strongholds. I ain't going to deal with any of them. I'm just going to look at them, you know? I'm like a tourist in the land, you know? I had to go all the way back to Jericho. Oh, God, and I got to deal with this. Yeah, you got to deal with that. I've talked to you about that, some of those. And we're still going through that process. He says, what about this that I talked to you? What were you? It's kind of like I heard, you know, Brother Hagin say one time, what are you planning on doing about what I said to you in 2001? I go back and look at that. Lord, I wasn't planning on doing anything about that. I'm going to share this with you real quick because most of you know enough of my testimony. Here's something he did say to me just recently. Because I shared with you a few weeks ago, we've had some breakthroughs financially, you know, and some things have really been happening. It's different than it ever been before in the ministry, not personally, but ministry. Well, some personally too. But anyway, I just go, man, this is, you know, and it's just him doing exactly what he said he would do. I just thought it would happen many years ago. Say, oh, you're an overnight success. Boy, that was the longest night, I'm telling you what. Now, you know. But what he said to me was this. He said, well, if you hadn't have obeyed me, I wouldn't be able to do this. See, now I thought he was talking about, I really did. I thought he was talking about giving away things free and not charging and making the tapes available free. You know, the messages, tapes. I don't know if I'll ever quit saying tapes. But making the messages available for free and all of that. And he said, well, that's good too, but that's not what I'm talking about. He said, no, if you hadn't have forgiven that couple. Y'all remember that? The couple that way back there, we're talking almost 25 years ago. It's over 25 years ago. When I dealt with you about forgiving them, he said, if you hadn't have obeyed me on that one, you wouldn't be in the ministry today. I told you wouldn't go very far with me if you didn't do that. There is an obedience. There is a time to deal. The walk. Some deal with the strongholds. The walk has to catch up with the talk. Most Christians haven't even begun the talking process, even acknowledging the truth. That's why calling in the lost, I think, is such a, a valuable tool. Where else are you going to go and get practice for about 30 minutes of calling those things that be not as though they were? The whole world teaches you, tell it like it is. Well, there's no power in telling it like it is. Now, you need to be honest in the world. I'm not, but the power of change is calling those things that be not as though they were. Okay, we still got to get to that verse, and I'm already running over. So, verse 4 again. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now here it was. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, in a nutshell, we don't have time to go in depth. He's talking about the Judaizers right there, putting them back under the law, telling them they've got to do this, they've got to keep that feast, they've got to wear this, do that, don't touch, all that stuff. He says, no, forget all that. That's the stuff that I count dung now. Okay, it said in the Philippian letter. Here he says, here's our verse. For in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's say it again. I want to insert that again over here in chapter 1, verse 27. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in you, your hope of glory. One more, verse 10. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's what Jesus meant when He said, see, as far as I know, Adam didn't have any authority in heaven. Adam had authority, the first Adam, on earth. But see, Jesus is beyond that. He says, no, all authority, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Well, we could launch into a whole other teaching right there. That's why He says, what you bind on earth, bind in heaven. If you forgive sins, they are forgiven. On and on and on we can go, man. But we can't do all that tonight. Say this with me. I'm just going to make a good confession before we start the confessions. Say, I acknowledge
the mystery
of the gospel. Which is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I acknowledge that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in me. I'm not the one in trouble. The mountain is in trouble. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.